All right, Revelation chapter number 22 tonight. Finally get to the end of our messages here on the book of Revelation. Last week we saw chapters 21 and 22, a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And I like what Revelation 21:5 says. He sat upon the throne, said, "Behold, I make all things new." That's going to be a great time, isn't it? You know? This old used stuff that we got right now, these old used bodies, about used up, ain't they? We're ready for a brand new body, ready for a brand new home. And he said, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." What a blessing that's going to be. This last chapter of the Holy Scriptures are God's final words to us as the canon of Scriptures closed. And I don't know if you're aware of what the last word of the Old Testament is. If you would turn to the very last verse of the Old Testament, the very last word is curse. Interesting, isn't it? Malachi 4:6 says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Sin brings a curse, doesn't it? We know that. And I like what Revelation 22, verse 3 says here. It says, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve Him." No more curse. And that'll be a great time. I believe there's some other things in particular that the Lord would have us to take a look at. We've taken a look at some of the first verses here in chapter 22, but I want to focus on really from chapter number 4, chapter 22, verse 14 through the end of the chapter there. Verse 14. Now let's read it to begin with, and then we'll come back and take a look at it. "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, I want us to take a look at some things here, beginning with verse number 14, to look at some final things that are given to us here. First of all, we see the final blessing. The final blessing. There in verse 14 it says, "Blessed are they which that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Now, when we initially look at this, it might cause us to squirm a little bit. Amen? Which of us do His commandments? You know, I mean, I'm talking about on a consistent basis. Our flesh cannot do His commandments. I mean, we need His help, don't we? And but listen, this blessing is fulfilled in the lives of those who have obeyed the gospel. Hold your place there in Revelation 22 and look at Galatians chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 for a minute. I'm glad that Jesus was obedient for us. Amen. He did what we could not do. There's none of us that could keep the law, but He fulfilled the law on our behalf. And when we place our faith and trust in Him, we are looked at as if we were fully obedient to the law, as if we are doing His commandments. When we by faith trust Him, we have fulfilled the commandments through Christ. It's Jesus that did it for us. Look at Galatians 2 and verse number 16. It says here, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, if we don't take time to take and compare Scripture with Scripture, you can come up with some really bad doctrine sometimes, can't you? And if you were to just take and isolate Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 14, blessed are they which do His commandments. Boy, we be preaching, boy, you gotta obey all His commandments. And we need to try to obey His commandments, don't we? I mean, we should strive as Christians to be obedient to the Lord. But what I'm saying is, we all fail. We still fall short of God's glory. But where we fell short, He measured up. Look there at Galatians 3 and verse number 10. Galatians 3, verse number 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." See, you just mess up on one place, you are guilty of breaking the whole thing. And all of us are guilty. Amen. Verse 11, "But that no man is justified in the law by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us," amen, "from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And, you know, Jesus said when He was here on the earth, over in John's Gospel, chapter number 6 and verse 40, you don't have to turn there. I mean, you want to write it down, check me out later, it's okay. But John 6, 40, Jesus said, "This is the will of Him that sent me." Okay, so if we want to do the will of God, this is what we need to do. He said, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." That's the important thing, amen? You need to have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've trusted in Him, then you have fulfilled the commandments in Him. He did it for you. He did what you could not do. And you are obedient through Him as you are obedient to the gospel. So we see the final blessing. Second thing we see is the final invitation. Look at verse 17, Revelation 22, verse number 17. Final invitation. It says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come." We talked about invitation this morning, didn't we? Talked about the invitation. We started to look at the invitations of our Lord. And we said, you know, there's an invitation for cleansing that's over in Isaiah 1:18. "Come now, let us reason together." But here we see invitation invitation to come. But it's the Spirit and the Bride that's given this invitation. It says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now, notice that it says the Holy Spirit of God is saying, Come here. Hold your place there. Look at John's Gospel, chapter number 16. John's Gospel, chapter number 16. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, before we're saved, the Holy Spirit is wooing us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, Come. He says, Come by convicting us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what the verses we're about to read say here. Look at John 16, verse number 7. We know this is speaking of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said here, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. "So, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," speaking of the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, "when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So the Holy Spirit of God is saying, Come. He says, Come because of sin. Sin in our life. The sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, come, because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. He paid the sin debt for us. And there's no need to fear if we come to Him. And we need to come because of what He's done for us at the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit of God says, come, because of the judgment that is to come. If a person fails to come to the Lord, what is he going to face? He's going to face the full wrath of Almighty God. Friend, I don't know about you, but that's just not a pleasing sound to me. And that's why I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and placed my faith and trust in Him. But I thank God for the day that the Holy Spirit of God said, come. And He showed me my sin. And He showed me the righteousness of Jesus. And He showed me that judgment to come. And He said, come. And I came. Amen. And I trust that you've had that time in your life too. Not only does the Holy Spirit of God say come, but second thing that it says there in our passage, there in Revelation 22 in verse number 17, but it says, and the Spirit and the bride say come. Not only the Spirit says come, but the bride says come. Now the bride is saying come, because she has come. Who is the bride? Those of us that are saved, amen? Those of us that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're part of the bride of Christ. And, we know the peace from having come ourselves, amen. When we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we didn't have before, you know, a lot of us, we were afraid to lay our head down on the pillow at night because we didn't know, hey, if I don't wake up, what's going to happen to me? Or maybe we knew what was going to happen if we didn't wake up and we still didn't have Jesus in our life. But we know the peace from having come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, you know, we know the redemption and forgiveness from having come. We've experienced that on a first-hand basis. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1:7 says, talks about Christ, says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And one of the reasons why we tell folks to come is, hey, you need to come experience what I've experienced. You need to come taste what I've tasted. You ever tasted some real good food and tell somebody, hey, you know, this stuff's good. You need to taste this. Or you're taking a drink of something and it was really good. And say, hey, you need to take a swallow of that. That's some good stuff there. Well, the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've tasted the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we know the blessings that come in our life. Listen, we know the access to God from having come to Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You know, we're accepted by God. And we have access to God also, you know, through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. But, you know, those that have not come, they've never tasted of that. They don't have access to God like we do. And that's one reason why we say come. You need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ so you can have what I have. We know the spiritual blessings from having come. Ephesians 1 verse 3 talks about, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the Spirit says come, the bride says come, and the bride says come because she has come, but also, listen, the bride says come because she's been commanded to tell folks to come. You know, we've been given a commandment, haven't we? The Great Commission. And we know that the Great Commission is given in three different ways in the Scripture. Over in Matthew chapter number 28, verse 19 to 20, it says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus commanded it there. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then just before He ascended into heaven, in Acts 1, verse 8, He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. We've been given the task to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. The bride is saying come because she's come, but the bride is saying come because she's been commanded. But I want you to see it thirdly. The bride is saying come because she's also constrained. She's constrained. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at two verses here. Verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 14 and 15. It says here, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Now that word constraineth means compels. When we say the love of Christ constraineth us, it compels us. When the love of Christ for us constraineth us, I mean, we ought to want to share the love that Christ has for other people, just like He had for us. Amen. The love of Christ in us constraineth us. I mean, Christ loves the sinner, doesn't He? And if Christ lives in us, then you understand that Christ living in us ought to love the sinner. You know, if Christ is living His life out through our lives, that love is going to be shown for a lost and dying world. So the love of Christ for us constraineth us. The love of Christ in us constraineth us. And then our love for Christ also constraineth us. Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So we see the final blessing, the final invitation, and I want you to see next of all the final warning. Back to our text in Revelation 22, look at verse number 18 and 19. And He gives a warning here, the final warning. He says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." You know, all these people that come up with all these perversions, you know, they would do well to read what they're changing, you know, and stop changing things. Stop taking words away. Stop adding words. Listen, God issued this final warning. I believe that this is not only true of the book of Revelation. I believe it's true of the whole Scripture. I mean, listen to what Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We don't need to add anything to the Bible, do we? You know, I like the old book myself. I know a lot of places, a lot of churches are getting away from the old book. And I know they're going to other things, things that are more palatable. We need it just like God wrote it. Amen. And don't add anything to it. Don't subtract anything away from it. We don't need the Bible in another book. And, you know, we don't need a companion guide to go with this thing. We really don't. All we need is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We don't need the Book of Mormon. No further revelation was given. This is closing out God's book here. We need the Bible and the Bible alone. And we need to just believe only the Bible and believe it all. Amen. And so we see the final warning there. And then we see the final promise. The final promise. And it's given in two places here, and it's given in verse number 7 and verse number 20. Verse number 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Behold, I come quickly, is what he says there. Now look at verse 20. He says, "He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly." Amen. And listen, that word quickly means shortly. That is, without delay, soon, or by surprise, suddenly. You'll notice for a while now, since we've been dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've had as the verse on the front of our announcements there, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 and 2, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." It's going to come. Unexpectedly. And that's part of what that quickly means. And we don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus is coming soon. And He is coming unexpectedly. And this is good news to those of us who trust in Him. Amen. If we trusted in Him, then we're going to go up with Him. But this is a terrible message to those who have rejected Him and are under the condemnation of their sins. And What we need to do as believers is not only share the gospel with those who don't have the gospel, we also need to make sure that we're ready for the Lord to come. We need to keep short accounts, as I said this morning. We should keep short accounts with the Lord. We must be ready for whenever He comes so that we're not caught off guard when He does come. So we see the final promise. And then we see, number five, the final prayer. I like the final prayer there in verse 20, the latter part. It says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." That's the Apostle John writing that. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." The words before that was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And when he gets there to, "He that testifies these things says, surely I come quickly." Amen. I mean, you know, so be it. Let him come quickly. "Even so come, Lord Jesus," was the prayer of the Apostle John. Isn't that great that the Bible ends with a prayer? Can you look into the face of heaven tonight and say, "Even so come, Lord Jesus"? You know, if you can't, there's something wrong in there. There's a lot of Christians who's not ready for the Lord to come back. And what they need to do is just get ready to where they can say that, where they can pray that. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I don't know of anything here in this life that should prevent us from wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. I know whenever I was growing up, I used to think, well, you know, I'd kind of like to experience what it's like to be married. You know, I hope the Lord don't come back before I get married. Or, you know, I'd have different things that I'd think in my mind. You know, I hope the Lord don't come back before I get to do this. But, you know, that's silly when you start thinking about it. You can't get any better than what the Lord's going to have for us. We've already seen that in Revelation chapter 21 and also the early part of chapter 22. We're going to have it all. We're going to have the things that will be a blessing in our life. What a way to go, amen. And if we have something in our lives that's keeping us from wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to come, could I tell you that that's sin? Is what it is. It's sin. We ought to get rid of that. We ought to get rid of that attitude and be able to pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And then we see the final benediction there in verse 21. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." You know, we all need grace, don't we? Now, thank God for saving grace. Those of us in here tonight, we profess to have saving grace in our lives. That's just only one aspect of God's grace in our lives. You know, He's the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." God of all grace, yeah. When we're going through trials, He gives grace for the trials. When we're going through difficult times and we have needs, He gives His grace to us. God knows exactly what we need, doesn't He? I've talked many different times about us sometimes getting our needs and our wants all mixed up. We all do that from time to time. But God knows our needs and He does supply our needs, whether we believe that or not. And He does that by His grace. And John prays here that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with us all. And it is with us all. Amen. I wonder what, you know, as you look at the final words of the Bible, what does the Lord want you to get out of it? You know, I don't know. I got a little bit out of each one of these things. You know, I take a grasp, grabbed a hold of things, and you know, maybe not been taking and praying enough. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know, it's not bad to make that a part of each of our prayers, is it? You know, it'd be a good thing, I think, to make it a part of our prayers as we go day by day. But whatever it is, and you know, that God has spoken to your heart tonight, I trust that you'll be obedient to Him. If there's something that's lacking in your life, lean to Him. Listen, He'll give you what you need in order to get that straightened out. After all, He is the God of all grace. And so He'll give you the grace to be able to do that He's told you to do, that He's commanded you to do. Let's just be busy for the Lord. Let's be obedient to Him in these final days. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the words of Scripture. Lord, it's been a blessing to go through the book of Revelation. In fact, you promised a blessing for those that will read and study the book. We saw that blessing promised in the very beginning when we first started this book. And Lord, every time we go through this book, every time we read it and study it, Lord, we're reminded of the things that are yet to come. We're reminded of the destiny of those that are lost and those that are going to be left behind at the rapture of the church. We're reminded of the great judgment that's going to take place at the end, the great white throne judgment, and how serious it is, how serious a matter that is, and how we need to make sure our friends and our family and everyone we come in contact with at least has a chance to hear the gospel and to either receive the gospel or reject the gospel. Lord, it's not up to us to see that they receive it. It's just up to us to give it out. Help us to be faithful to give gospel tracts and to speak a word, Lord, where we can. A witness for you. Tell others what you've done for us, Lord, to be what you would have us to be as we look for your soon coming. And Lord, help each of us to be able to pray each and every day, even so come, Lord Jesus. Help us to live our lives such that we're ready for when you come quickly, that there's going to be no time to breathe a prayer, no time to confess any sin, no time to do the things that we should have done that we left undone. Lord, help us to be ready to go each and every day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Lord, just have your will and way, this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.
Page 403.
403. If God's spoken to your heart and you need to come tonight, altars are open.